This is Movies for the Blind, episode 47, Whistle Stop, part 1.
A mink can cover a lot of things.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We're starting a movie that features the first starring role for a woman still considered one of the most beautiful women of all time, Ava Gardner. Now, George Raft gets the top billing, and indeed, he was a pretty big star. But you may know Ava Gardner better, not just because of her work and her legendary beauty, but because she keeps turning up in the biopics of some of the famous men who loved her. She was played by Marcia Gay Harden in a miniseries about Frank Sinatra, and by Kate Beckinsale in The Aviator about Howard Hughes. But there's nothing quite like the real thing. As a teenager, she left her home in North Carolina to visit her sister in New York City, where she posed for a photo for her brother-in-law, who was a photographer, who then put the photo on display in his studio's front window on Fifth Avenue. When an MGM talent scout spotted it, Ava's Hollywood whirlwind began, including a marriage to Mickey Rooney that lasted all of 17 months. This film was made around the time that an even worse marriage to bandleader Artie Shaw was ending. So if you hear some world weariness in her voice here, you'll know it was hard-earned, and that was even before she became a star. From 1946, this is Whistle Stop. George Raft in Whistle Stop. With Ava Gardner, Victor McLaughlin, Tom Conway, and Georgia Curtwright, Jane Nye, Florence Bates, Charles Drake, Charles Trudels, Jimmy Ames, Mack Gray. Written for the screen by Philip Yordan from the novel by Marita M. Wolfe. Director of photography, Russell Meddy. Art direction, Rudy Feld. Film editor, Greg Tallis. Production manager, Walter Mayo. Dialogue director, Leon Charles. Sound recording, Corson Jowett. Assistant Director Milton Carter. Music Cutter George Emick. Original Score and Musical Direction Dmitry Tiomkin. Associate Producer Philip Yordan. Produced by Seymour Nebenzahl. Directed by Leonid Mogi. In desolate Midwestern darkness, a signal light moves. And a passenger train starts to slow down. When it reaches a station, a porter in a white jacket prepares the steps and opens a door on the train. When he moves some luggage to the edge, a woman steps behind him and waits for the train to stop. Wearing a long fur coat, the beautiful woman steps down and tips the porter, smiling. She looks around and picks up her luggage as the conductor confers with the station master further along.
Thanks. So long, can't be seeing you.
So long.
The conductor climbs back on the train, and the station master shares a glance with the woman through the darkness. Then she walks off. Soon after, she steps through a fence gate and past a dog to an old two-story house. Climbing the steps and crossing the porch, she opens the front door and walks inside. She looks around the living room, taking it in, and smiles warmly. Noticing something in the other room, she steps toward it, sets down her suitcase, and enters the kitchen, where an older woman has just made coffee.
Hello, Molly.
Mary. Great day in the morning. When did you get back?
Just now. I saw Sam at the Whistle Stop. He didn't seem to know me.
And no wonder. You look like a million. Is it me?
It better be.
Sit down, Mary, and I'll fix you some breakfast.
Only coffee, Molly.
You're just like my Kenny. He never eats anything in the morning.
Mary's smile fades.
He is a surprise to see you. What brings you back from Chicago?
Money.
Money? You look like you're rolling in it.
Don't let this coat fool you, Molly. A mink can cover a lot of things. I came back to sell the house.
We do owe you some rent, don't we?
Well, I never wrote to ask you because I never needed it till now.
You sure didn't. Did you lose your job?
No. I gave it up.
Oh.
Molly, can I stay here for a couple of days?
Of course. It's your house. I'll have Kenny moved out of your room in a jiffy.
Oh, no, no. Don't wake him up. It's too early.
Well, he's here right now.
He hasn't left town, has he?
Oh, no. You know, Kenny's always up to Ashbury looking around.
Looking for what?
Well, you know, Kenny, he's always on the go. Right now, I bet he's working on a big deal.
In Ashbury, at a card table, Kenny surveys his hand.
I'll take three.
He deals cards to a man sitting next to him.
Give me two.
Then to another.
How many? I'll take three.
Another man opens curtains and a door.
I'll take five.
Letting in the morning light that reveals a hotel across the street.
One dime.
My mom.
Raise your nickel.
Kenny raises his head.
That sounds like the train from Chicago.
Expecting someone?
He's not expecting no one.
I'll see you.
Queens.
Kings.
When one man reaches for the pot, another smacks his hand.
And three juices. You haven't won a pot all night, Barker.
Cards are against me.
I don't know. You did pretty good when you brought your own deck.
You're not doing so good yourself. With cards or anything else.
Meaning what?
Well, Lou got a letter from an old friend of yours.
No one cares.
Last time I was in Chicago, Lou had me look her up. She's doing all right for herself.
Shut up.
You ought to see the hotel she's living in. Strictly class. Yeah, who'd ever think a little Mary would wind up wearing mink?
Kenny grabs a drink and throws it at Barker, who reaches under his jacket, but Kenny struggles with him.
Get it out! Get it out!
They settle back down.
Wind up keeping that big trap of yours shut, you hear me?
The stocky man who won the last pot puts a hand on Kenny's shoulder.
Forget it, Kenny. She's no good for you.
He pours Kenny another beer.
That's what I like about you. You've got nerve. Plenty of nerve.
A well-dressed man with a thin mustache walks in.
Morning, Mr. Len.
Hi, Al.
As he hangs up his jacket, everyone stares at him. And Barker gets up and leaves the card table.
What happened to you?
His tongue slipped.
Lent sits in Al's barber chair, looking at the stocky man.
He left the bar in a mess. Go and clean it up.
That ain't my job. I'm a bartender, not a busboy.
Sometimes I'm not too sure.
Kenny and Lent trade hard stares. When the stocky man stands, the card game breaks up. Kenny takes his jacket off the back of the chair and follows the stocky man out as Lentz turns to Barker.
Are you shooting off your mouth again, huh?
Oh, he hit me when I wasn't looking.
Forget it. One of these days is going to swing and miss.
Shave?
Yeah.
Later, a car pulls up to the house, and Kenny gets out of the passenger seat.
Thanks, bub.
As it drives away, he steps through the gate to Molly in the yard.
Hiya, Mom.
Now, you listen to me, Kenny. I've been telling you, you've got to stop this staying out all night, and I haven't been talking just to hear myself either.
He hugs her.
Mom, you're getting fat.
Guess what?
I'm not good at guessing anymore.
Mary's back.
His face hardens. Turning to the front door, he hurries to it.
Coffee on the stove, and be sure you eat some hot oatmeal.
He steps inside and looks around. Then he goes upstairs. Reaching a bedroom, he enters.
Mary.
Unpacking, she turns to him.
Kenny.
They approach each other, smiling. Then embrace.
Hiya, beautiful.
Hiya, handsome.
They hold each other.
Gee, I missed you.
Oh, it's been so long.
When Kenny spots something on the bed, he breaks their embrace and picks up a sleeve of the mink.
Where did you get this?
It's a present.
From who?
Oh, he owns a department store. We almost got married.
Dropping it, he picks up a thin, gleaming little case and opens it.
It's a lovely Mary from George.
He drops that, too.
Did that come with the coat?
No. There's more than one department store in Chicago.
She returns to her suitcase.
There are no big stores in Ashbury. What did you come back here for?
She faces him again.
Maybe I came back for you, you chump.
You sure it wasn't somebody else? You wrote to Lou Lenz.
I answered his letter. That's more than I got from you.
You never got anything from me. Go ahead and say it.
I never ask anything from anybody.
Kenny goes to a dresser and starts taking his things out of the drawers. With a smirk, Mary steps behind him and notices the photos he takes down from around a mirror.
Love. With love. Lovingly yours.
She picks up a large framed photo from the top of the dresser and reads the inscription.
With all my love, Fran.
He takes it from her.
Something special, huh? I suppose you've been pretty busy since I've been gone.
And I'm going to be kept busy.
Are you?
She puts her arms around his shoulders. And they kiss. Kenny drops Fran's photo on the floor. Later, Kenny and Mary sit at the dinner table with Molly and a young woman.
Molly, if you opened a restaurant in Chicago, you'd slay him.
Molly, you're not only the best cook, but you're getting to be the best-looking girl in Ashbury.
Sam approaches.
Watch out, Mom. That's going to cost you an extra dollar.
You know, Mary, 30 years ago, I'd have stayed in Chicago without cooking.
A young man walks in.
Hiya, folks.
Hi, Ernie. You remember Mary, don't you, Ernie?
He kisses the young woman and sits down.
Some of my apple pie.
Thanks, Molly. I couldn't eat another bite. I just had dinner. Just take a little piece, sir.
He takes the rest of the pie.
Come in.
Barker walks in.
Hiya, folks.
With a huge bouquet of flowers.
It's for you, Mary. From Lou Lenz. Where shall I put it?
Mary looks at Kenny.
Oh, gee, red roses.
He sets them down.
They're nice, huh?
Mary looks away, concerned.
Well, so long.
Barker walks out.
You know, Kenny, I've been thinking about putting some of those wild strawberries this year. They make such nice sauce. How about picking me some, huh?
Let Josie do it.
I am not going to spend my day out picking berries. What are you doing that's so important?
That's no way to talk, Josie.
Well, no one ever says anything about him doing a single lick of work. No, he can go to Ashbury every night and spend the money you give him drinking and chasing around.
She's right. You ought to quit that kind of monkey business. We ain't that sort of a family. No son.
What do you expect Kenny to do? Sitting around here waiting for a job to come to him?
Oh, sure. The best time to start looking for a job is 8 o'clock at night. And if you do a good job of looking, you can't get home till morning. And the best place for looking is every beer joint and pool hall on Main Street.
That's telling him.
You shut up, Sam Beach. If it wasn't for Ernie giving you back the job, you'd...
Sam walks off.
Never you mind, son. Don't pay attention to your father and Josie. They're just blowing off steam.
Come on, Ernie, let's go.
Josie and Ernie leave the table.
If you go into town, Ernie, you can give me a lift.
Okay, Kenny.
Why, Kenny, I thought you were going to stay home tonight.
He looks at Mary.
I've got a date.
Dropping his napkin on the table, he gets up and walks away.
Wait a minute, Ernie. I'll go with you.
Picking one of the flowers, she follows him. Later, in Ashbury, a car pulls up to the Flamingo Club next to the hotel, and Kenny and Mary get out.
Thanks, Ernie.
Bye. Thanks, Ernie.
As Ernie drives off, Mary goes to the Flamingo's door and finds Kenny right behind her.
Where are you going?
Not where you're going.
They go in. While Kenny sits on a bar stool, Mary walks past tables to some stairs.
Fran, get your drink.
At the bottom of the stairs, she looks back and notices Fran getting a drinks tray from the stocky man. She notices Mary, who climbs the stairs. As Fran stops watching her and serves the drinks, the stocky man turns to Kenny at the bar.
Kenny, you shouldn't have come in here.
I get it. Give me a drink.
You're only asking for trouble.
Let me worry about that.
They both glance upstairs.
Hi.
Where Barker lets Mary into Lou's office and leaves.
Hello, Lou.
He sits behind a desk.
Thanks for the roses.
I've been expecting you.
Sitting down, she looks around the dark office.
Why are you sitting in the dark?
I hadn't noticed it was so late.
He turns on a desk lamp and gazes at her.
Your hair shines in the light.
He gets up.
If pity you don't wear a ribbon anymore. That's what struck me the first time I ever saw you.
He sits on the desk beside her.
You haven't changed a bit in 2 years, Luke.
Have you?
I came back.
She stands and wanders around the desk.
Why, Mary?
She turns to him.
They sell the house.
That's why?
Well, I was a little homesick.
How could anyone be homesick for this town? Still can't get him out of your blood, huh?
I couldn't in Chicago. I wanted to see what he was like again. I did. He'll never change.
I could have told you that 2 years ago.
Wouldn't have helped 2 years ago.
Lou stands.
I hate his guts. The arrogant way he walks around like he owns the town, when he hasn't got the price of yesterday's newspaper.
Stepping to a window, he opens a curtain to look down over the bar.
Come here.
She does, to watch Kenny drinking across from the stocky bartender.
Just look at that. He knows the way I feel about him, yet he has the nerve to come in here tonight.
Downstairs, Fran casually tries to walk past Kenny, but he takes her arm and moves her in front of him.
Still love me, Fran?
She looks away.
What's the matter? Aren't you glad to see me?
You didn't come to see me. Thought we had a date for last night. Remember?
The bartender sets down the glass he was drying and looks toward the stairs with Fran as Mary and Lou come down and approach the bar. Mary smiles at the bartender.
Hello, Gidlow.
Hello. You can talk better than that.
Hello, Mary.
As Fran notices Kenny trying to look at them coolly, Gitlow hands Lou a wine bottle with a special pourer on top of it.
Give me 50.
The pourer plays music when Lou tips the bottle to pour the wine. Grimacing, Gitlow lumbers over to the cash register. Counting the money he's taken from it, he shares a glance with Kenny. Then he steps back to Lou and gives him the money, which Lou also counts. Lou picks up his hat.
Going?
Might as well.
As Lou escorts Mary to the door, Fran and Gitlow watch them, but Kenny doesn't. With a glance back at Kenny, Mary leaves with Lou.
Well, she's back.
You remember Kenny?
While Fran watches him, Kenny stares toward the large mirror behind the bar and remembers sitting in the same place next to Mary when she still wore a ribbon in her hair.
Listen to me, Kenny. I tell you, there's nothing for us here. Chicago's a big city. We can make out there.
What'll I do in Chicago, dig ditches?
Well, what are you doing here, playing cards all the time? This town, your friends, your family, they're all poison for you, Kenny. At least there you'll have a chance. You'll meet new people. Something will turn up. I know it will.
There are too many Lou Lenses there.
Somebody mentioned me?
He steps up behind them.
This is a private party.
I just thought I could do something for you, Sonny.
Yeah, you can give me a cigarette.
He does.
Anything else?
Now you can light it.
He does.
Now you've got all you want, you better go. I don't want you hanging around here. The next time won't be so sociable.
If you said that with a smile, it'd sound better.
He turns to Mary.
Let's go.
Go where?
I'll take you to your house and swing you on the hammock.
Oh, that's very funny.
She gets up from her bar stool.
Lou, you asked me to go to the Wilton Club. Does the offer still go?
Sure.
Take your hand off it. Make up your mind if you're going with him or me.
Our mind's made up. Now beat it, Sonny.
Kenny slugs him in the jaw. As Mary watches, shocked, Lou fights back and they trade blows. Lou knocks Kenny down against the bar. Kenny gets back up and throws another punch that sends Lou sprawling on the floor.
Kenny!
Mary grabs Kenny, but he shoves her away to go after Lou again.
Kenny!
She stops him.
I'm through, Kenny.
I'm through wasting my life trying to change you. I'm leaving this town for good.
She stalks out. Slowly, Kenny approaches Gitlow at the bar.
Kenny, you whistle now.
Behind Kenny, Lou sits up. Then grabs a bottle and stands.
Kenny, duck!
He does as Lou throws the bottle at him, shattering the mirror. Kenny stares into that mirror as his memory fades with Fran still beside him.
Come on, snap out of it, Kenny.
He looks at her.
Let's go to the Gatton's Riddle and have a drink. Just the two of us.
When she smokes, he takes the cigarette out of her mouth and puts it in his, then gets up and leaves. Fran shares a sad glance with Gitlow, then looks down at the floor. Later, Kenny walks a country road to the little train station. He enters the station house, where Sam looks up from reading a logbook and sets it aside.
Thought you went to town. Got a cigarette?
He finds one in a pocket and gives it to him.
What's the matter? Couldn't you find no excitement? Listen to that rooster crow. Keeps it up all night long. Can't even hear the train whistle.
Kenny lights the cigarette as Sam starts to cough.
My cold coming on again. And my back. It's killing me.
Go on home, Pop. I'll take over.
Thanks, Kenny.
Sam stands up and gets his hat.
You'll find a sandwich in that box.
He puts on his hat and starts to go.
Answer that, will you?
As Sam leaves, Kenny steps to a desk with a telegraph machine. Sitting down at it, he starts to decode the message coming in. Gitlow enters the station house behind him, smiling. He sits down and watches Kenny, who finishes the message and turns around. Getting up, he approaches Gitlow and sits on a desk.
Hiya, Kenny.
Hiya, Gitlow.
How about a game of casino?
I don't feel like it.
Just a couple of hands.
Gitlow opens a drawer.
I can never sleep until daylight.
He shuffles a deck of cards he got out of the drawer as Kenny steps around him and sits across a table from him.
You know, I like it in here.
He deals some cards.
Trains passing by down here. Cars up there full of life. Yet we're always alone. I feel safe, too. You know, working in the nightclub and living in the hotel, he's always around, always watching me. Just because I once got in a jam. The police don't know what he does. He never says nothing. But I know he's only waiting for me to make one wrong move. Lou's a mean guy that way. You gonna take 10 of diamonds?
Kenny takes a card and lays it down.
I sure was surprised to see Mary. Only I figured she would be coming back to you. Of course, after Chicago, it would be kind of hard on her to come down to your way of living. Especially with an important guy like Lou nuts about her. Did you see him take that $50? Why, he'd spend that like we would 50 cents. You know, that makes a big impression on a girl. Did you throw the deuce? Yes, if it wasn't for Lou, I'd be happy. It would be better for you, too. We both wouldn't have a thing to worry about. Card is sticky on me. I have to get a new deck. I never told you how I got into trouble, did I? I lost my nerve. That's what I like about you, Kenny. You got plenty of nerve. Well, it's 3 weeks to the Ashby Annual Fair. June the 1st. That's a big day for Lou. He makes plenty of money out of those concessions. last year he made over $15,000. I know because I drove him to the train. And when the show closes, he takes the money to a bank in Detroit. And the train for Detroit has to be flagged from here, see? Now, if the guy in the signal box were to forget to flag the train, Lou wouldn't get back to Detroit, would he? Get me? Hold your cards up, I can see him. Oh, it can be easy done. All I have to do is, I drive Lou up here. Your old man's rheumatism's bothering him again. That's why you're here, see? Now, I can wait a few minutes. That's all a guy with nerve needs. Then I drive the car up. I know a good place to get rid of him. And as far as anyone knows, Lou never comes back from Detroit.
Kenny thinks, then turns toward the train whistle. They both look out a window and watch the train speed past. Gitlow smiles.
Straight to Detroit. You're always on time.
Looking at a clock that reads 11:15, Kenny thinks some more. So, will Kenny go along with Gitlow's plan? Find out in part two of three parts of Whistle Stop, next time on Movies for the Blind. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The movies are from the Internet Archive, which is also the host for this podcast. So please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.